Alright, we're discussing Enduring Love, present R.
Lenore.
Jane.
Ty.
Mary, who didn't think so.
George, who didn't see it either.
Robert, who didn't see it.
What a lame film.
It just disappeared Friday.
We have our marks.
Yeah, I know, I was going to go this weekend.
Yeah. Listen. It wasn't even showing in Portland.
And you found it.
And I got there, and I came down here Thursday afternoon.
Wow.
And Ty arranged to be late to a meeting at work.
I hope there was something
so that we would need it.
Shame them all.
I'm shaming them. And this is going to be online for everybody to hear.
Mark always sees both of them. I am not able.
You didn't introduce yourself.
Mark. So what did you think of it?
We'll put Ty on the spot.
What did I think of it? For me, I thought it was different, and I thought it was a little hard to relate to, coming from another culture. You know, I think that people have a frame of reference. And I think that their frame of reference is based on, you know, their cultural upbringing. And so there were things that were happening in this movie that you know, my cultural upbringing didn't actually relate to. You know, especially the main character and how he, tolerated is the best word, the antagonist, constant presence. So that was kind of tough for me. Mm-hmm. In other words, I don't think most of the people that I know, most people wouldn't handle it the way he handled it. And so it was a little tough.
Can I ask when it was set? What era?
Yeah, give us the gist.
It's contemporary.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, I have a feeling it was.
You need to outline the plot for people.
Yeah, outline it. Because I know, but I've read the plot. Balloon accident. I know that there's a balloon accident, I think, or something preview.
Yeah, it opens with this couple having a picnic, and the guy's getting ready to propose.
But we don't know that until like.
Well, it's suggested.
No.
Oh, I got that.
What?
A bottle of champagne.
Initially, I thought they might have been married. I thought they might have been married.
Okay. Well, anyway, okay, I got it. That's what I got out of it. Then there's a balloon. Then there's the balloon, the out of control balloon, and everybody rushes to help. And so there's a kid in the balloon. In the basket, and then there's four men. Five men? There's five. who are trying to hold the balloon down, trying to anchor it so the kids can get out. I think one's the father.
I think so.
And one's the grandfather?
Who drops
the grandfather?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, one of them's related. I think it's the father, and the other one's, some of them are strangers, and they just kind of all are there. And so they got it under control, and then a big wind comes, takes the balloon up, and they're all hanging.
Wow.
On the sides.
Cool.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
And finally, they're going up and up, and you're thinking, how long can they possibly hang on? And finally, one of them lets go, and then the three others let go, and then, I think there's five, because the other guy's holding the rope.
Right.
And he just keeps going up there, and he finally lets go. Splat.
They all die?
No. The four drop early enough.
Oh, they drop early enough.
But the fifth one.
Okay.
Keeps going. And then he finally, of course, drops.
What happens to the boy?
He comes down later safe.
I thought he died.
No, he comes down later safe. Right. Oh. 2 miles away.
In a tree
or
something. Hmm. Okay. But anyway, so the story's about... and he is the first one who drops, isn't he?
That's... You don't know.
Okay.
You don't know.
Go back and
see. You see feet dropping.
Oh,
and
no,
so he thinks he's the first one to drop.
No, the
main character.
I thought he was clearly the first.
I thought he was too.
Yeah. I thought so too, but later on I wasn't really sure.
Did you see it again?
And that's what's kind of interesting about it.
He's
obsessed with the fact that he dropped. And if he hadn't dropped, maybe the other guys wouldn't drop. And if they all didn't drop, then maybe they couldn't hold the balloon down. And so he's obsessed with this whole thing. And he wants to find more about the dynamics of the people that were there. He wants to know about the guy who died. He talks with his wife, and so he's got this guilt complex. He's obsessed with it. He's drawing pictures of balloons and stuff like that.
Isn't he a philosophy professor?
Yeah, he's a philosophy professor. Okay. And you know, we get little scenes of him talking to his students about love and meaning and life and
how nothing really means anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's one of the other four of the men who dropped was a young man who right away you get these kind of born again guy because he wants to pray after the accident. Mm-hmm. Protagonist is like, pray?
Mm-hmm.
He kind of like pushes it, so he relents. And so that guy's the main character. And then there's the girlfriend. She's an artist.
Okay.
And
who's
so
the girlfriend?
Samantha Morton.
Oh, okay.
So then, anyway, the born again guy starts stalking.
Okay, right. I knew there was a stalker. Another creepy. Why does he do that? Is it motivation?
Yeah.
He's obsessed with me. He thinks this guy has a connection with him because they went through this traumatic experience,
mm-hmm.
and he falls in love with him.
He has a full fantasy going.
The guy who he went through the experience.
This is the guy he prayed with. And so, a lot of the movie chronicles the deterioration of this guy internally, and then the deterioration of his relationship,
mm-hmm.
and then this growing tension between the antagonist and the protagonist that finally erupts.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. Yeah, but very violent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard it was pretty violent.
There's some interesting twists though, because the protagonist he meets with the wife of the guy who fell, and he somehow reveals to her that he might have been cheating on his wife because there was somebody else in the car, or she knows that there was some kind of picnic stuff in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Like he stopped his car to go chase the balloon, and she later found some picnic stuff, and she thought he was having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this twist, he's trying to calm her about her, and she's obsessed with the fact that her husband may have cheated on her.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. It turns out that there another guy that had been dating his student or something like that.
Secretly.
And they were out for a picnic and their car broke down and the guy who died happened to pick them up in the car and it's their stuff in the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of interesting twists.
There's a lot to discuss. I wish you guys would have seen it. Because mm-hmm. I mean, whether you like it or not, there's a lot of stuff in it.
Right.
There's
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Yeah.
As I said to Ty, said, regardless, this will be a really good film to talk about.
Right. Oh,
rats. The opening shot's really interesting in that it's a very idyllic feel.
Yeah.
It's just really, really nice. And you're just settling into who these characters are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like only a minute into the film
mm-hmm.
when in the background the balloon comes down.
And you see it on their faces, right? You see the expression on their faces, how you know something's up.
On her face.
Right.
Her face.
Mm-hmm. And the balloon is silent, so it's
mm-hmm.
just all of a sudden it's there.
Yeah. Right, and then the whole thing plays out in almost total silence,
right.
too.
Yeah,
like
the
next 5 minutes.
Okay,
no dialogue at all.
No.
Yeah, I am more intrigued, and that's why I come to these meetings even when I haven't seen the film. I often get intrigued.
Well, I guess didn't get much of a thumbs up for her.
It got thumbs up very
coming from the three of you.
I give it
depends
a good
on what you like.
Yeah.
I thought that it was very well done for what it was. I can't say I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
But that's where I it was thought provoking. Yeah, this one's orange.
They didn't. Especially the main character, the philosophy instructor, didn't look enough at the other side of what happens if we hang on to this rope.
Yeah, that was
because,
kind of pretty far-fetched.
Right, because if the balloon keeps... There were five guys on the balloon, and the balloon is still going up. And eventually,
They're going to have to let go.
They're going to let go at some point.
Yeah, why didn't
they survive? Right. They chose to survive, right. Mm-hmm. Which is what his girlfriend keeps saying.
Right. Why is he racked with guilt?
Was there something else going on? I'm trying to remember. Was there something else?
Well, no. The balloon would have come down because it obviously came down the first time and it just had the guy and his son in it.
But before that, they lost their strength of holding on, would it come down?
Well, I don't know that they lost their strength. I think they just decided that they're getting too far off the ground.
Oh. I'll tell you. I mean, I was picturing myself being one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I could not have held on that long.
They had good, the ropes they were holding on were like this around the basket.
Okay. Well,
whereas the guy, one guy that was holding on to a long rope, he was holding on like this.
Yeah, exactly. You cannot do for very long at all.
But I think the point is
the orange one.
Even if they intentionally let go, because they didn't want to get too high, at some point it would have been too high, and would they have lost their strength later on?
Well, it might have come down.
That's what I thought.
But it may not have. I mean, this is true. Yeah, it may not have.
This is true. And
I mean, more of a lemon.
Because right now you're holding on it and it's going up.
Yeah, going up, up, up.
And so at some point you reach the point of no return. Either I let go now while mm-hmm. it's safe, or I'm at mm-hmm. the mercy of the balloon. And when it decides to come down on its own.
And how long can you hold on?
That's
a chance they could have climbed down.
There wasn't that chance.
Yeah.
But
and that's, you know.
I mean, we're talking about what if.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the whole like first half of the movie, the main character
right.
doing this what if.
Uh huh. So that's interesting. That's effective. Yeah. It gets you to think that way. Yeah.
And the other question is, if somebody else had let go first, would he have still let go? I mean, his guilt was that he let go first, but somebody was going to be first.
And he even talked about that a couple times. He was kind of like doing it hypothetically, well, if this happened and this happened,
right.
You know, like as though it wasn't him
right.
grappling with that.
Right.
But the thing also I didn't get, and this may be a little, I know it's for the drama, but when they actually, I mean, they had the balloon down for a while. I was like, why doesn't the kid jump out of the basket?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't a real kid. Right. He was like probably 10.
Yeah.
Or why did they grab him?
Yeah.
I was like...
Well, I think what happened there is the wind came up real quick
mm-hmm.
and took him off the ground. I mean, the kid probably assumed he's got enough time so that he could
right.
basket settle down.
He looked really passive, that kid. He looked kind of like just, I don't know.
He's a kid.
He was 10. He wasn't like 5.
But if I understood it correctly, when they were at the dinner table having dinner and discussing it, and they asked what happened to the kid, he said that the kid regained control and landed it 2 miles
right.
away.
Wow.
So the kid
was sad.
Had the ability to find it, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the only one in the balloon?
The kid is in it by himself. That's an interesting
I think he and his father are in the balloon.
The father had jumped out, I think, to try to...
Oh, right.
Yeah,
so he is there.
Right.
Yeah.
That seems
very...
It sounds very interesting.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of interesting dynamics.
Yeah.
Relational dynamics.
There's... two shots that are just like you might have to turn away. There's one shot where the guy who's fallen is in the field.
Wow,
he's like
it was
an
incredible shot.
Yeah, it's just like really visceral.
No. And he's like upright. He's upright, seated, but he's like seated like this.
You can see
and
it.
And then they pan down and look at the capture. I mean, very odd. It was like really.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But very interesting.
The other shot is when at the final end, when there's a confrontation between the stalker and
mm-hmm.
and the guy who's stalking and the girlfriend. And the stalker stabs the girlfriend, and the girlfriend's bleeding on the floor.
Stabs
the girlfriend. And the protagonist is talking to the stalker, trying to get his confidence to take the knife away. And in the background, you can see the blood is like coming out. And there's just so much tension there because you realize that she's dying.
Right.
You know? And it's not like a tension I've ever seen before where, you know, you're on tension about something scary is going to happen. There's a tension there because of what you know about blood loss.
I'm glad you didn't see it.
Well, you know, that's part of what didn't work for me. I mean, the two things that didn't work for me were, again, the way... The main character kept putting up with this stalker, with this harassment. Mm-hmm. I mean, he never really did anything to put an end to it. And then mm-hmm. the second thing that really, really didn't work is when he comes to his girlfriend's apartment and the stalker's in there in the bathroom. I mean, what was that all about? How did he get the bathroom? I never really understood that.
Well, I think the stalker had come directly from his apartment after he beat his head against the wall, to confront the girlfriend and say that, look what your boyfriend did to me.
And also to tell him that your boyfriend's in love with me or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work, but and that's when he stabbed the girlfriend. I don't know.
So was the dog an interesting character?
Wait,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, so you think the girlfriend would just let this stranger in a row?
Well, she's already, she knows him, you know, because the guy's been talking about him. And she's seen him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a part of their life. And so she's probably curious as to what's going on with this guy anyway, and maybe if she talks to him, she can find out what's going on. So I can understand her letting him in, especially if he looks the way he did, all beat up.
And if he says, your boyfriend beat me up. Because that guy, that was very believable. He did not. No, but it was believable. Yeah. I mean, the guy was strung out enough, but, and he almost did. He almost killed him. He came very close to him.
Yeah. And the girlfriend knew that?
Okay. No, she thought that he beat him up.
She didn't know he was close to killing him.
No.
He's not like really evil, like a Hollywood type of evil character.
Which one?
In the Stalker. Stalker. You know, he's just deranged. You know, and I appreciated the fact that they didn't treat him as just a kind of a cut-out character.
That's something like
you? Yeah. Thanks. Well, the scriptwriter did.
Let me tell you
I never saw Fatal Attraction, but it just made me think of that. All I heard about it is that
that's the Americanized version. That's the version that's what I'm. Glenn Close was, you know, at a certain point she was evil, you know, and the Stalker wasn't pure evil until the very end there, where he stabs the girl. You get some flavor of when you start seeing him bashing his head against the wall, and then when you realize why he bashed his head against the wall, it's because he's making up this whole big story.
You think that's what he's doing, banging his head, thinking he's going to go and talk to the girlfriend?
Yeah, that's plan. I mean, that's the whole.
I didn't read it that way.
But the difference with Fatal Attraction is that in Fatal Attraction, at least Glenn Close had a reason to be obsessed. Or not a reason to be obsessed, but there had been some intimacy between them that led to the obsession. In this movie, there was nothing except the brain.
It was
imagined, right.
And the guy is a religious fanatic, kind of?
Yeah, he's just an obsessive personality, I would say. He was obsessed with the religious stuff, obsessed with the guy.
Which country is it set in?
England.
London. There's a couple scenes too that are kind of interesting, where the guys, he confronts the Stalker in some public places, and he looks deranged when and you can see that he is obsessed, and he is deranged. And to a lot of people, he would look deranged if you didn't know what the Stalker was doing. And I thought that was kind of interesting too, because we could put ourselves into this guy's place and how other people might be looking. You know, when he acts out in public, and all the people are like looking at him like, "You're really crazy." You could put yourself in his position, realizing that all the people are looking at you like you're really crazy, but it's actually this Stalker guy who's really crazy, and they don't know the history of this Stalker. Right. The Stalker looks perfectly harmless in public. Whereas the guy who's being shot.
Very soft and gentle. But one of my questions on the whole entire thing about why didn't he do more was exactly, and I thought about it a lot, like, well, why isn't he doing more to prevent this, you know, or why isn't he confronting it more directly head on and just dealing with it, and why is he letting it go on and on and on?
Because he was obsessed with his guilt in the affair, and that was playing on his mind the whole time, and he wasn't, you know, this guy was a part of that. And you know, when the guy first approaches him, he thinks the guy is approaching him to tell him that I know you dropped first. See, he doesn't know if he thinks he dropped first, but he's not really sure. And he thinks the guy is going to tell him that he dropped first, and he wants to know that. He wants to either know that he dropped first or he didn't drop first, because he's obsessing about it. And that's what he thinks the guy is going to tell him. Mm-hmm. But it turns out the guy's little secret is that he's in love with him, not that he knows that he dropped first.
But what I didn't get about that was, or one of the wrinkles for me was that he never told his girlfriend the nature of the stalking. He never said, this guy's in love with me, or anything like that. And I was like, well, why doesn't he tell her?
Does he tell anybody?
No, but he's intimate with this woman, and he talks to her about every time he sees him. He said, oh, he was there again today, and, well, what does he want? Oh, and he kind of covers it over. So what was that? Was that like his own...
I think for a long time, he wasn't really clear on the nature of
the stalking. But then he was.
And after he became clear, she became disinterested. Remember that one scene when she was in bed and he was trying to get her to get up and look, he's out there now, and she just kind of...
But that was a long time after he
moved. It was a long
time. He had known for a while by that time. By that, he was just figuring out some more details about it. So that's a big question for me. It's like, why didn't he tell his girlfriend? Was he ashamed of it? Was it his own, you know, was he have some kind of latent, you know, stuff himself that he just didn't want to...
Right. Well, was there any implication of that? Because that's what I'm saying. Does he talk his girlfriend about how bad he feels about maybe having been
I assume that, you know, once he knew the nature of the stalking, that it was just something they shared, because he shared everything he did know about this guy with her. Like, he found some stuff on the internet that was related to that kind of a stalking, and it was related to this
that was
historical
later,
figure that
he'd known for a lot, but yeah, he did. That was when she didn't want him anymore, right? That's what I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you thought he did tell her?
I assumed that he did.
Oh, I
Because of so much that he shared with her about this guy.
That's a pretty big thing not to just show on the screen when they're showing everything else. I felt like he was just holding that inside, and that was a lot. And I felt like there was a lot of tension around that and ambiguity around how he felt about this man approaching him, how he was going to deal with that. I mean, he told the guy no, and you're reading me wrong, and I'm not interested. He did tell the guy that, but he never really made a decisive ending to the stalking. He never told his girlfriend about it, and I just thought there was something not quite...
Mm-hmm.
It definitely raised questions to me about how he dealt with his own sexuality and his own relationships, and because he could have had her like a restraining order put on the guy, or he could, you know, there's things you can do. It's not like
there'd be no movie.
Right.
Mm. A restraining
sometimes
order
sometimes
never kept everybody away.
Yeah,
many people don't.
But he could have, I'm just saying, to do something.
Yeah,
I mean, he was pretty passive.
Well, you're not the only one who said that. I think that's what some of the reviews said.
Exactly. Why didn't he call the police?
It seems to be that they didn't totally buy it either.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? When you say that, I haven't seen the movie, but it echoes what you said about the little boy in the balloon, that he was passive too.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's sort of acting out something like an identification with this little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Who is at the mercy of events or something.
Well, I think with the little boy in the balloon, I think that once they got control of the balloon, because they did, they got control of the balloon, and I think everybody assumed that he was safe.
Right.
And so he was just taking his time getting out. In fact, the guy even said, you want to climb out, and they were coming. It's kind of like almost a joke. And then all of a sudden, this big wind came up and took it from under him.
I can buy that.
So I think that's why there wasn't the urgency to get out, because he felt safe.
Also, wasn't there something where, like, he accidentally pulled a lever and that was part of what happened?
I think so.
You know,
the boy did?
Yeah, he pulled a lever that, like, made the fire go and inflated the balloon again.
That was actually rough. Because they kept telling him to pull a lever.
No, but there was something that happened before
But not after they had gained control of it.
You don't think so?
No, he didn't pull a lever after they... I don't think. No, it was the wind that came in. Remember, they all...
Oh, I know it was the wind.
And that's when they took off the bed.
So what did you guys think about the ending where everything works out? The
I was surprised.
The girlfriend doesn't die. They're back together.
She's
they're
disabled. She has a cane. She's walking. She's crippled. Yeah. But yeah, I assumed, with all that blood loss, I assumed she was going to be dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I agree about that shot, though, because there was not only... Part of the tension of that shot was also that she was making those sounds. You know, like asking for help,
kind of,
and asking for help.
Right.
And he's just slowly trying to talk to the other guy.
So you're saying it was a really well done shot that I shouldn't.
Well, there was a lot of tension, and the interesting thing about it is he convinces the stalker that he wants to kiss the stalker, and it's a very passionate kiss.
Well, convinced that he's in love with him, and then the stalker approaches him to kiss, and so he kisses him. That's how I remember.
And then what? Kills him?
And then there's the traditional, where you don't know who's been stabbed.
Right.
But then after you realize it's the stalker that's been stabbed, he immediately runs and gets the phone and calls. He doesn't even look back at the stalker, so that obviously the stalker's fallen on the floor or something like that. But he knows what he has to do. You know, he's rational at that point. But it's a lot of tension.
It's right. Very, very tense. Yeah.
Who's director? Do anything else?
And also because I think that he did have whatever were unstated issues around his sexuality. Mm-hmm. He role played that thing out with that guy. That was very intense because he was obviously like so kind of about it. Mm-hmm. But it was like the only way to save this woman was to, and it's tough for that matter. Who knew what that guy was doing? I thought he was going to go ahead and kill his love interest at that point, you know, if he got any closer.
No, he didn't die at the end either.
Yeah, he ends up in a mental institution. He's not dead either.
Wow.
Oh, really? I didn't
yeah, die. Remember that shot?
These people
just,
don't
like,
stand
just sitting
well.
There right.
I noticed that. It was after the credits started. And then they stopped it, and they cut away to another scene, and he was in the...